Yo, what's going on with y'all, man? Y'all definitely rocking with Blackout Radio, the Dumb Boys. It's weekend, over the weekend, you know, there was a shooting that occurred. You know, me as somebody, a lifelong resident of East End, you know, that's a special part to me, you know, a special side to me, as well as any other city, part of the city I grew up in, West End, North End, South End, Taste Creek, but definitely that East End and that West End where I grew up, those was my stomping grounds. Background information, last year, beginning of the year 2017, we lost a close friend, 3rd Street, down at the motorcycle club. Had a conversation, Corey, I remember we had that conversation, I said, man, you know what, man, I'm tired of this, we gotta do something. You know, I'm not gonna stand and let another person die within our neighborhood association boundaries. We definitely gotta do whatever we gotta do to make sure this don't happen no more. You know, we started the Stop Bleeding Guardian Project. You know, and everything, you know, there's a couple other shootings, but not at the motorcycle club. Last weekend, there was another one. A young man passed away, got shot and killed. So me, my first thought, period, and it's not even emotional, it's me looking at social issues. We got to shut down the motorcycle club. That's what I told Corey, man, we got to shut down the motorcycle club. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't even want to hear no conversation because I know Corey used to be a regular down at the motorcycle club. That was his spot. I never stepped foot in there. I think I might have went to a birthday party for Fat Didi back in the day before he became a Fat Mac. You know, and he think he might have been turning 16 or so. It was a little birthday party we had in there for little Eastsiders in there, or they had. So now here we are today. And anything that I do, I'm going to go straight to the source and say, you know, we need to have a conversation. So, you know, I hollered at Burr. I know she's down with the MC Club. She hooked me up with the president of the King Cobras. So we had a conversation. Sandman, the president of the King Cobras, we had a real live conversation. He didn't run. He accepted my phone call right off the bat. And that conversation, it enlightened me. You know, as much work as I do in the community, as much as I'm involved, that's a conversation that enlightened me to say that, you know, I had to pump my brakes on my thought process of shutting down the King Cobras, even though this conversation was supposed to be about, I feel we should shut down the King Cobras. When I spoke to Corey a Sunday night, I know he definitely had some resistance, like, you know, I don't know if that's the best way to go. You can't. So, you know, just I wish Sandman could call in. Hopefully he's listening. And if I, you know, take anything out of context, I know he's definitely going to hit us up. But when the first thing I told him about shutting it down and had that first conversation, he's like, man, this is an institution. We provide entertainment for people that want to have entertainment and want to get out of the house and have a good time. How does that have anything going up and down a public street? What does that have to do with me? I'm like, well, you know, okay, keep talking. He said the issue isn't the patrons. The issue are the people that's hanging up and down the street, whether they coming down there drunk, or they engaging in illegal activity or whatever. But when we start really looking at long-term, short-term issues, you got kids killing kids. People gonna say we have a problem with our youth. So if we have a problem with the youth, isn't that a direct relation, a correlation to a problem with parenting? Which we talked about the parenting issues. We talked about the lack of police presence. So is the motorcycle club creating an atmosphere that is creating death traps for our children? Or is it the community with as a whole that's a problem with a few bad apples that just really can't, one, handle their liquor, having mental health issues and problems to where they have the ability to lash out against their brother man and shoot him to death? What do you feel like the issue is? Is it the motorcycle club? The institution? Because one of the things he said is like, well, a school's an institution. Now, I told him right off the bat, man, everybody keep on trying to compare the motorcycle club to the schools. You can't do that. He's like, you absolutely right. I said, but then my point is, you can't do it because there's school shootings really don't happen over and over. He said, well, you can't compare a school shooting to my institution because I've never had a shooting inside my institution. So you can't compare the two. He said, never. In the history, you ain't had a shooting inside a motorcycle club. So now you can't compare the two. So, you know, everybody's looking to blame somebody. And I guess the motorcycle club is how he feels is we looking to blame them. But we can't blame the motorcycle club for social issues that people such as myself help create. I used to go to the motorcycle club. I'll be the first one to tell you, I never went inside. I went out there to hang out. I went out there to hustle, make a little bit of money, you know, drink, you know, smoke a little bit, post up and chill. And the culture hasn't changed. A lot of the young folks that ain't old enough, I don't even know if they changed the age limit to what, 25 and over, 30 and over.
It's been that.
But that's what I'm saying. So that's the group of people that are outside posting up. So what do you see the problem being to problem with the issue of the motorcycle club being open, or is it just the party scene in general? Because you got shootings outside of old schools, yeah, shootings outside of TDs, strip clubs, you know. So it seems like the nightlife and our people, it's something that's not right there, man.
You know, they never had a shooting
where
at a Divine Karama party. They don't have fights there. They don't have security. The issue isn't the King Cobras. I think the issue is the culture and the crowd that places like the King Cobras would attract. If you look at like you just said, the shootings is everywhere. So I can't blame it on Cobras, because everywhere you go, there's shootings. Certain neighborhoods, you know, that you go to, there are going to be more shootings than other in the neighborhood. So the issue isn't necessarily Cobras, because I doubt it that any of the problems that result in a shooting start at Cobras. So you got a bunch of dummies over here who got a problem. You got some cats over there got a problem. You got this girl who's mad at that girl for that reason. And then they all come to the Cobras. And then they see each other, and on site you have an issue. But the issues aren't originating with the Cobras. The issues are originating on Monday afternoon and on Facebook posting this, that, and other. So I wouldn't blame the Cobras. But I would say that there are things that, in my opinion, could be done to reduce the violence that does happen to Cobras. I mean, like, I love my hood. I know my community. I used to go, like you said, I went to Cobras every week. Well, every other week. You know, I stayed there, and I'd probably be one of the drunkest dudes there. But the culture has totally changed now.
Well, has it? To my understanding, it's the same. When I went out there and I would sell my hot dogs, the posting up, the chilling, the gambling, the whatever you want to do is the same. You know, it's the culture. And my thing is, I'm not going to hate or tell somebody what our culture is and what it should or shouldn't be. You know, if you shooting dice, I don't have no problem with shooting dice. If you want to go out there, and if your culture, what you want to do, want to smoke a little corn, hey, I ain't got no problem with that. Even if you out there and you chilling, you talking to your girl, you sipping, I don't have no problem with that. The only issue I have a problem with is when it comes violent and somebody becomes laid out in the street bleeding out. That's what I have a problem with. So can we have our culture and everything that our people do mixed and mingled with the alcoholism that kind of puts people in a different mindset, along with the King Cobra? Can we coexist, I guess I should say? Can our culture and the King Cobras coexist without there being violence?
Yeah, the problem is changing the culture. Because you got to ask whose culture we talking about. My culture, your culture, and the culture of some of the cats who go down to the Cobra starting trouble is different. You know, I'm in the 38 club. 35 and over. So guns don't impress me. How many guns you got and how many clips and bullets, that's not cute to me no more. I'm not being pissy drunk in public is not cool. I like to be sensible and see everything that's going on. I'm not going to be outside of no freaking dice game, because I got sense enough to know I can go to Red Mall if I want to gamble, or I actually have the means at this point in my life that I can drive to Cincinnati and go to a real casino. You know, so my mindset is totally different. I'm a working man now. I'm not into street culture where I can stay up all night because I don't have any responsibilities at first thing in the morning. So the cultures can exist, but the issue I have is that culture. Everybody that goes to Cobra isn't deeply an active participant of the street life. You see what I'm saying? Some of the people are working class Joes. They want to go out and hang out all night. Well, you know, they worked hard all week. They earned that right. The other individuals, the ones who's not old enough to get in, the young ones who's causing trouble all over the neighborhood, can't control their drugs, mixing everything, they an issue.
So what is it, the 25 and under culture?
For the most part. I mean, think about how old were you when you started going to Cobras?
Probably about 18.
Now, if you look at how we were at 18 and look at how they are at 18 today, it's a major difference. The culture has shifted. They a little bit more ignorant, a lot less respectful. They ain't out here for money. They just want to get into some stuff. So the mindset is totally different. And you have incidents all across the city, in schools, at gas stations, all over the place where violence is taking place, in the mall. I mean, so I wouldn't blame the institution simply because it happens everywhere. What I will blame is those of us in our community who allow that culture to become rampant. So I'm not going to point the fingers at the Cobras necessarily. I'm going to point the fingers at all these folks who know what's going on and sit back and don't say nothing. You ain't schooling these young cats, so they run around with pistols 10 karat crazy. You know your kids is bad and all kind of stuff, but you ain't going to check them. You ain't, I'm scared of him. He's big. He's tough. Man, what? Not just the mamas. I'm talking about the daddies who ain't active in their children's lives to where their children feel it's okay to run around and be crazy. Or the ones who have daddies who set negative examples, so now I'm trying to live up to my daddy's legacy. We all are active participants in this culture, and we allow it to take place. We allow these little young fools to pack these pistols, and ain't nobody checking them. We got checked when we was younger. Why ain't nobody checking these cats? Oh, man, we can't tell them to pull up their pants. They might get mad. Oh, man, you don't say nothing to them. Just lock the doors and keep going. Just act like you don't even see them. Just don't pay them no attention. Just wave and keep going. Huh? These are kids. I don't care if they got blowers or not. They still kids. They just kids with blowers. But nobody wants to approach them. Nobody wants to love them. Nobody wants to say, hey, man, let me put you up under my wing and put you up on some game. That right there is a federal offense. You be booked forever for that. Man, you ain't got no serial number on that gun. That's a federal offense. You going to be gone forever and a day for that. Hey, man, all that dope and guns, hey, man, that's linebacker numbers for that. Ain't nobody schooling these young cats, so they out here reckless because they don't believe that the consequences are going to happen. Hey, bro, you see that bullet right there? You know, it's cool when you shooting them that way, but when they start coming back this way, they burn like heck. Ain't nobody telling them what happens when you're on the receiving end of the bullets. You know, those of us, older folks, we, all them little young cats is crazy, man. They shooting up the block, they messing up the money, and that's all you can say is, oh, they crazy, they wow, man, they out of control. Man, you see little so-and-so, man, man. You know, they ain't got no guidance, so no wonder they 10 karat crazy.
Yeah. But then, you know, one other thing is now that culture to where now we're forced to exist together, to where we have the young cats, the old cats, and then we come together. Doesn't that put the older folks knowing how the young cats act? So it's gonna put us on guard to say, when we go into an atmosphere like that, I definitely got my blower. You know, I'm in the kill or be killed mode. So how do you change that culture, knowing that we all gonna come together and nobody's checking nobody? The kids is, I look at them as our youth is misguided. You know, they don't have no guidance outside. You know, I've seen something the other day, somebody talking about quit kicking your kids out at 18. They not ready. Now, you know, in our culture, you turn 18, it's time to go. You 18, I think that's where the parenting really starts. Parenting don't stop at 18, so now you got kids, young adults, 18 to 25 out there on their own with no guidance, with the understanding that their parents put them out of the house. couldn't wait for him to turn 18 to put him out of the house. Tell him the whole life, when you turn 18, you gotta go. They turn 18, they go, and then what happens? Then they out here wilding the hell out with no guidance.
Well, I got put out on my 18th birthday. So they say statistics is what, 16 to 25?
Mm-hmm.
25 is when I went to prison. And that's when I straightened up. So because I was young, 18, without any parental guidance, I got a little wild. The difference is there was still OGs out there in the streets that kept you in check. You know, my rest in peace to my man Big B. But Big Buford, I'm sorry, not that Big B, but Big Buford. He gave us more game in a little bit. He schooled us. Hey, man, you can't be out here like that. You can't be doing this. You can't be doing that. Even the police officers was out here on the block. It was cool back in the day. You know, you had several black officers on the force that said, hey, look, man, I don't know what y'all doing, but look, don't be here when I get back. Don't make me do my job. I don't want to keep seeing you out here all day, blah, blah. So it was rules back then. The police ain't walking on foot. They not doing, you know, that type of patrol anymore where they get to know people in the community. They just riding through. They no longer seasoned officers, you know, because of the pension plan and all this and that. The officers are getting younger and younger, which means they have less wisdom collectively. So the kids are just nutting up.
So now, wasn't it a cry out that the police was policing our community too heavy? We didn't want the police in our community harassing us. So now is it the we need more police? It's like, what do we do? We want the police or do we not want the police? Do we only want the police when we want the police to be there? Do we want the police to always be present? If they always present, they harassing us, they watching us, why they always here, go do something to where then, okay, we want the police here. So which is it? Do we want the police or do we not want the police?
Me personally, no, I don't want the police at all. I'd like to be left alone. But at the same time, I know how to carry myself like I have some sense. So if I and people who look like me cannot keep our young brothers in check, and they are a liability at this point, if they are running around packing pistols and their behavior is uncontrolled and unchecked by people my age and older, and we have a problem that is out of control, meaning our young people, if we can't control our young people, the one thing that they are somewhat afraid of is the police. You know, these young people, they will shoot any and everything moving. The police pull them over and they will put that gun down and go peacefully. So if the only thing they respect is the law, and the law is the only thing that can ensure the safety of everybody else, then it's like, well, what do you do? I would much rather see individuals regulate their own communities. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see us be able to say, hey, man, you know, have a tight enough relationship within our own communities to where we all know each other like we used to, and where we don't feel the need to say, oh, I can't talk to his kids because I might have to fight him. Or I can't correct. Nah, we need to go back to that. Because when we was younger, they didn't have the issues that they do now. So it's either one, yeah, let the police do the policing, or we do it ourselves. But once again, that's going to take people to stand up. It's going to take people to step up and actually participate instead of sitting back and on Facebook making statuses about subliminal statuses about specific kids who you know who you talking about.
I went to a meeting this weekend at Frederick Douglass about helping boys of color. We asked about solutions. What can we do? How can we find solution? Mr. Cleveland, Dr. Cleveland, stood up and said, man, I make this real short and sweet. How many people's been to see Black Panther? Most of the people raise their hand. How many of y'all know somebody else that went to see Black Panther? Everybody raise their hand. How many of y'all know somebody else that knows somebody else that went to see Black Panther? Everybody raise their hand. How many people do y'all know that know somebody else that know somebody else that probably went to see Black Panther twice? Most of the people raise their hand. He said, now tell me how many, by a show of hands, how many of y'all know 10 people that are mentoring? I think I was the only one to raise my hand. He said, this is when I dropped the mic, right? Done deal, it's over. So So it's easy for everybody to feel pro-black and be, you know, part of the solution by going to see a movie. You know, now you feel like you part of the solution because you went to go see Black Panther, a movie that was directed by what you feel is an African, even though the screen and everything else was probably done by Europeans. But that makes you feel like you were part of the solution because you can wear your dashikis.
Hey, they didn't watch football the first 3 weeks.
Didn't watch football the first three weeks.
So that's two things they done did, you know, in the 12-month period. They stood up for Kaepernick for a little bit. Everybody went to a Super Bowl party.
That's what I'm about to say. They had their own Super Bowl party.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I guess that's the problem is when the hard work begins. I make a post on Facebook. We need to shut down the King Cobras. That was some pushback. A lot of people had a lot to say. When I passed out those 500 flyers, nobody had nothing to say. Because it's easy to get on Facebook and sound like a doctor. It's easy to take you, you know, a good quick minute to express your opinions on Facebook. But when it comes time to express how you feel to these young men, oh, now that's a no-no. No, but I just got a text from my wife, my lovely wife. She's listening. Shout out to Dina B.
Oh,
she said one of the issues is that people do this type of stuff at the King Cobras because they know they can get away with it and that they will not get away with it in other places.
I'd agree.
Why?
The culture. The culture at the Cobras, for the most part, and generally speaking, you would expect most black communities have negative experiences with the police office. Most people in the lower income black communities, where the Cobra lies, have experienced violence at some gun violence at some point or another. Most of them know you don't say nothing, or the common belief is that you don't say nothing because you don't want to be next. You don't want to be involved. You don't want to be victimized by saying something, da da da. Therefore, you have and once again, people just don't trust the police. People would feel much better based on a lack of effort, a perceived lack of effort on the police department's part, or the lack of ability to solve a murder when the people in the streets can find out in a day or two. You know, so people just ain't putting faith in the police for multiple reasons. So what you have is a very, very strong don't snitch, don't tell, don't see nothing, don't say nothing mentality at places like the Cobras. When you go to, I don't know, Saddle Ridge someday, I don't even know if that's even open no more, but a place like that where it's a mixed crowd, they gonna say something. Our culture says stay away from the police, don't talk to them no matter what. Their culture says work with the police because they're gonna protect us, so they gonna tell it all. So yeah, you would feel it is in the black community, oh, ain't nobody gonna say nothing, and you have thousands of witnesses or hundreds of witnesses and no statements.
You know, is that really real? Is that
yeah, that's real.
A false hypocritical stance and facade that so many people try to put up, because soon as one of their loved ones gets shot, the investigators aren't gonna keep them from calling their phones. You not gonna be able to stop them from showing up at the police stations. You're not gonna be able to stop them from putting up signs or being on Facebook talking about you saw something. You know, when there's something that goes down, like with this case, one of the number one things you're gonna hear is more police presence. We need more police presence. It's just almost like if you go to the dirt bowl now, we need more police presence. If the police was there, this wouldn't happen. You know, when you look at 4th Street Live, the police are there. They drinking. The police are walking the beat. Police are taking pictures with people, but they're present. Where alcohol is present, where live music is present, where there's an atmosphere of people getting drunk, drinking liquor, they're always present. If you go to Rupp Arena doing a rock and roll concert, that liquor is served, you're gonna see 20 cop cars lined up to where there's a presence. Then if there was 20 cop cars lined up, if we go down to the motorcycle club, people gonna be like, what the F? And they always harassing us. But then when something goes wrong, they're the first people that we want to blame. So is that the just a blame game that we like to play, as we don't really want to do the work ourselves. So when tragedy strikes, we want to blame the police for not being present, even though we don't trust the police. We don't want the police in our community. We don't even look at the police as part of our community. So is that a false narrative that so many of us try to portray, like we the tough guys and we don't want the police, but as soon as it happens to one of us, we gonna be at the police's door, beating down the station door, talking about, you gotta solve this. We want justice. We want the prosecutors to throw them under the jail. We want the death penalty down. To first, we didn't even believe in the death penalty. But let it happen to us, and is it just that we want to blame somebody, but is it that hard for us to really look in the mirror?
I don't know, because I would say the only time that you get that response from black people is for a murder. Black people get assaulted, you be like, you go to their file? Nah, I ain't filing no charges. I ain't even worried about it. House get broken into, they may or may not file paperwork depending on how much stuff was taken. Cars and stuff get broken into, they not filing a report at all. So the only time that black people are going to file a report or press charges or press the issue is when somebody's been killed. Outside of that, they're not going to do it. So that's one thing. On the flip side, I personally believe that some people have had such negative experiences with the police officers that they really just don't trust them. It's not that I want the presence there, but because of over-policing. My personal experiences, for instance, with over-policing. When you go down the main street on Thursday night, what is it, Thursday Night Live, when you down there and people walking around drinking, they won't say nothing. When you go to King Cobra's, they stopped me one night for impeding the flow of traffic on the sidewalk. I was just standing there. I wasn't impeding the flow of traffic because the sidewalk is huge. Plenty of room to come through on both sides, coming and going. But because I was standing over there posted up, they just decided to bother people that night. You know, so I think those negative experiences with black crowds, they're not going to treat us the way they treat us at Rupp Arena. So that's where the resistance to the police presence comes from. At the same time, if it was a squad car, as opposed to the whole freaking police patrol, it would be a difference. When you go to clubs in Louisville, police car sitting right there. Cops in the car. They not shooting up the parking lot. You still get to go in, the police, but at the same time, the police are not harassing the individuals who are patronizing that club. Now, in Lexington, what you get is a mix. You get some professional officers, you're going to get some that's just straight up buttholes. The buttholes make it bad for everybody.
But you know, one thing that I notice is most of the time, and I know the numbers go up, but when I go to Atlanta, most of the cops I see patrolling those areas are African cops. When you go to Louisville, most of the time you see the police patrolling those areas are African cops. I don't know if the culture of policing is different, and they can actually hire officers to where, here, you know, speaking to a close friend, G-Max said, you know, I try to hire officers, but for whatever reason, we are not allowed. So the only thing that we can do is call them if there is a disturbance. And if we call because of the disturbance, we're looked at as having a nuisance. But if they were there before the disturbance took place, there would be no disturbance. So therefore, there would be no nuisance. So it's almost like a setup, you know. But then, you know, I got another.
On that point, I spoke with a woman who works with the CDC. And what she says is that every single night that the King Cobra's Motorcycle Club is open, and the police are aware of it because they're circling through, they park within a 5-block radius somewhere and just sit there and wait in case something happens. So my thing is, instead of parking 5 blocks away, why not park within eyesight? That would deter all the violence. And you saying you can't be hired, but then who hired them to protect the folks down at Portofino? Oh, right. They just made a complaint. They wanted to protect the guy. You see what I'm saying? They pick and choose who they want to protect. So if you are really trying to reduce gun violence, you're really trying to reduce violence, you want to be part of the community and you want to know how to get into the community, maybe that's a start. Maybe if you just park your freaking car right there like you do at the Dirt Bowl and don't bother nobody and stand out of the way, stand out on the outskirts or whatever, show a presence, but not an invasion.
Now, is it possible to ask somebody for their help because you need their help, but then tell them how you want them to help. For instance, you was on the sidewalk one day. I guess the officers might have been having a bad day, so they decided to harass you, so to speak, on impeding the flow of traffic. Now, if there was a presence there to where that they were, you know, who is that right there? What number is that?
433.
Check and see who that is. You know, impeding the flow of traffic. Is that a positive?
Blackout radio.
Or a negative thing? You know, that's one thing that I want to know. So we say in one breath that we do not want the police. But then when we call them, who's to say what type of police you gonna get? We want you to come, we just don't want you to get out of the car. We want you to come, we just don't want you to harass the patrons. And we say we don't have a lot of discipline. So let's rock with we don't have a lot of discipline. So a lot of the schools get strict discipline. So if you have a strict cop, is that a bad thing? Understanding that a lot of our people don't have discipline. We're not giving it to them. So is it possible for us to say we want them to sit down in a cop car, but once they get out and they start disciplining our children, or trying to discipline young adults, even though they're adults, that might be an issue within itself. But is that a bad thing? Because my thing is, I'm getting, either we need them or we don't. But if we need them, how do we control the narrative of what they're doing and how they to do their job? Either we want them or we don't.
Like I said first, I feel like we need to regulate our own. It wouldn't be no issue.
But that's not going to happen. Let's be for real. It, you know.
Hey, it can happen, but we got a call on the line.
Okay, who's this? Who we got on here?
Are you there?
Hey, man.
Hey, Sam, man, what's going on, my man?
Ah, man, not much. How's it going, bro?
Hey, great, man. Glad you could call in. Glad you was listening. What's on your mind?
Just speaking on, you know, I mean, I've been listening to you guys on the radio, man, and do appreciate your thoughts on it and all that stuff, man. But, you know, I spoke with you earlier, and like I said, man, I mean.
Hey, real quick, this is the president of the King Cobras MC. So let that be known. This is the Sandman. So, yeah, continue on, big guy.
Yeah. Like I was saying, man, you know, I was born and raised East End myself, man. Born and raised, bro. You know what I mean? So I have a love for the community just like everybody else, you know? And I heard, I believe it was another guy on there earlier saying, you know, it's the culture itself has changed, man. You know what I'm saying? But everybody wants to place the blame everywhere else rather than place the blame where it needs to go, you know? That blame goes towards who pulled that trigger, man. You know, I never sit here as a business owner or an establishment, a gas station, a school, or whatever. You know, I provide a place for everybody to come, socialize, have a good time with their friends, do all that stuff, man. And then you turn around and you blame me or my establishment or any other establishment for the foolishness of some knucklehead outside. You know, I mean, we do everything we can as an establishment, and I'm sure it's not just us, to ensure that everyone that comes to visit me is safe. We warned everybody. We make sure there's no guns that come in. We make sure that there's no fights that break out as best we can. You know what I mean? But because, you know, you get some dude that's out here trying to make a name for himself or trying to be a big guy on the street or because he's hopped up on heroin, drugs, or whatever drug of his choice, and he decides that he wants to act a fool, then you want to point the finger at that establishment? It's not cool. Like I said, these things are happening everywhere. If I'm not mistaken, back in 2012, there was a lady shot out front of Trust Lounge, right in the heart of our downtown Lexington. But no one said, oh, let's protest Trust. Why? Because you still want somewhere to go. You know? So let's stop pointing the finger, guys, and let's do something about it.
Hey, now, let me ask you a question real quick. What is the age limit for Cobras?
25 and up.
So it ain't even a 21 and over establishment. So that's another precaution y'all taking, is to make it raise the age. Y'all chosen to raise the age limit, right?
It's always been 25 and up for us.
Right, and that's what I mean. I mean, you know, the normal age for an adult establishment is 21. So y'all took it a step beyond, is what I'm saying.
Yes, we did.
Hey.
Now, let me ask you a question. You know, earlier when we spoke, we talked about lack of police presence. Is it possible, because I know I spoke to GMAC, and he said that, you know, you can hire police. But as we alluded to, when you go to Third Street Live, you know, they allow people to drink freely. And there's always a police presence walking around. You know, you're going to see squad cars. You're going to see motorcycles parked on the street. They're always present. Even late night on Saturdays, they're always present. Is it right possible to hire police officers, or have you tried to hire police officers to patrol the street? Or do you just feel like that's not your responsibility?
Exactly. I mean, why is that my responsibility to hire what the city is already paying them to do?
Do you feel about the fact that they park blocks away? You know, anytime there's a black party, a black establishment, you know, they park several blocks away, out of sight, hoping. Well, no, I can't say hoping. Let me change that. You know, in the event that something takes place, would you prefer personally that they be closer, or is it something that doesn't matter either way for you? And as far as a business owner,
I mean, for me, to be honest, I would rather them not have to do that.
Right.
Let me explain that. I would rather them not have to do it, being that, you know, I want those people to be able to come out and have a good time without feeling like, as our black community is used to, being harassed by the police or being anything like that. But on the same note, you know what I'm saying? It's because of the way they're acting that they're having to do that. So again, you can't sit here and blame harassment on the police when you are the reason that they're having to do this.
So it's a self-inflicted wound.
Acting the way you're acting, and they won't have to do that. And you can come out, you can have a good time without having to worry about the police sitting here, without having to have them riding through all the time. Now, as a business owner, doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. Come through, sit down. I don't care if it's going to stop the next person from being hurt, if it's going to stop the next mother from crying over their child in the casket. Man, more than welcome here. I'll pull a chair out here for you.
Now, let me
ask. You know what I'm
saying? But, go ahead.
But that's not my responsibility to police the community itself. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a security business.
So now let me ask you this. This might be a little tough, and it's going to possibly make you feel some type of way, but I received a text, and it says it is the fault of the motorcycle club because the people know the owners don't care enough to control the crowd. It's the Cobra's fault. You have to control your establishment and how it's ran.
Okay.
So,
and
how now? Now, we spoke earlier about having a house party. Now, if something goes down in my house, it's not my fault. It's definitely not my fault. If I have a house party, a Super Bowl party, somebody gets shot, somebody gets killed, it's not my fault. But working in housing, and based on income housing, based on income housing, says that you are responsible for the company you keep. So if there's a shooting that takes place around it, your parking lot, if they were your company, you will be evicted. So do you feel that, I understand you're not in the business of policing, because like you said, it is not your job, it's not your responsibility. But as a business owner, and as somebody that wants their business to succeed, do you feel at all responsible for any of the crowd control outside of your establishment?
just like I spoke to you earlier, when it comes to my property, I do my crowd control, which, like I said, these people that are in line, I keep that under control. I wand everything that comes in and out of there, everything that's on my property. Now, again, I go back to say, the shooting that happened this weekend did not happen on my property. So, am I responsible to, because I'm open and because I'm an establishment, am I responsible to also control what goes on Ray Street, what goes on Warnock, what goes on Goodlow, what goes on Withrow Way, what goes on behind the grocery store on the corner of Race? Am I responsible for that? That's not my property. To go back and say that you know, I'm responsible for my guests, who said that these people were even my guests? Who said they even came into my club, or did they just come down to hang out, or did they just come down because maybe they got a phone call saying that they got to be for somebody and he's down here?
So how do you feel about that? Like, you know, say news coverage and stuff, they won't hesitate to say the name of an establishment, especially if it's a black-owned establishment. You know, there was a shooting at so-and-so place, even though, like you said, it wasn't on your property. How would you...
Well, of course, see, that's the thing, and you spoke on it, you touched on it earlier, was that for some reason, well, I'm not going to say for some reason, I'm going to say everyone, when something tragic happens, everybody wants answers. Everybody wants to blame somebody. They want to put it on somebody, whether it's the establishment, whether it's the person, because they know who it is. Everybody's looking for an answer to blame somebody. So you always blame the closest thing to it. You know what I mean? So guess who's the closest thing to it at this point? It's King Cobras. But again, like you and I spoke earlier, when my man Gucci was killed, we weren't open. Who do you blame for that? When the little 19-year-old boy was found by the dumpster up by the little housing project that they have up there, who do you blame? But you're quick to blame the closest thing to whatever it is, because you're looking for someone to blame. You're looking for somebody to take that responsibility rather than putting that responsibility where it's supposed to be, and that is that culture, today's society, these young kids. That's where that blame goes.
And you know,
that is exactly where it goes.
We are nailing into our final 15 minutes of the show, and we always keep our last 15 minutes open to talk about the solutions. So, you know, real quick, let us know what you feel like the solutions are to the issues with the violence in our neighborhood. What do you feel like those solutions could be? Short-term, long-term solutions? What do you feel is... give us a long-term solution and a short-term solution.
A short-term solution is that, for one, stop thinking that the entire police force is against our black community, bro. That's one thing. Help these guys out. You want these guys to solve these murders? You want these guys to solve the issues to help you also? Then help them out. Give them that information they need. Give them that one that you know killed your loved one. Let the police patrol this stuff and not hinder them in doing that. That's a short-term goal. So not only do you need to stand up with the police, but have the police be liable to stand up themselves and not be hiding out. Now, long-term, give these kids something to do. Everybody knows. Everybody has their mixed feelings about this whole micro city government thing. And I don't condone nothing that happened in that. But when you allow a program to be shut down that helped our black kids, our black community, to be shut down for the action of one man, then you doomed the whole village. You doomed the entire village. So I'm saying, give these people something to do. Stand up and go to your council meetings. and say, hey, we need to open these community centers back up. Hey, we need to reestablish micro city government as a whole to give our kids something to do, to give our kids 16 to whatever an opportunity to make money so they don't have to be out on the streets. In turn, what that's going to do is those that are 16 and above, they're going to have to teach those that are 15 and below, because they are the ones that they're going to have to work with in these communities. They're the ones that are going to have to go out here and play kickball with them. They're the ones going to have to teach them how to tie their shoes. You know, you in other words, you allow the village to police itself. If you allow that to happen by giving them something to do, then they're less likely to get into something they have no business getting into. So a long-term goal is, man, give these kids something to do and something worth working towards. Give these parents who are out here having babies as babies, give them classes. Give them classes on parenting. Give them classes on how to fill out a job application. Give them classes on how to maintain a job, how to go to college, how to go, anything. You know what I mean? Give them something to do so they can teach their kids. Their kids can teach another kid. That's a long-term goal. But you can't blame a gas station, a school, or anything else for the downfall of society as a whole.
Hey, man, you summed that up good, man. I appreciate you giving us a call. Y'all was listening to Sandman, president of the King Cobra Motorcycle Club, man. We definitely appreciate the service you providing for the community outlet, and I appreciate you calling in, man.
Man, I appreciate you letting me speak on it, bro.
Hey, no doubt. We'll be in contact.
All right, man. All right, take care.
Peace.
All right.
You know, what my man just said is basically what I was talking about. So shut down the King Cobras because of the act of a few. Shut down Micro City because of Ron Berry. Now, Micro City did run a little bit, I think maybe on the Sean Edwards. I don't know if they kept the funding. But shutting something down is very simple. You know, shut down Dirt Boat. That's what a lot of people get to. You shut down the King Cobra Motorcycle Club, that'll set the precedent to start shutting down everything else across the city. So my solution is to stay active, and instead of blaming somebody else for somebody else's actions, we definitely do need to get to work and really start figuring out who wants to take responsibility. And I tell you, I'm the first one that would tell you I take responsibility. Now, I'm not going to take responsibility for pulling that trigger. I'm going to take responsibility for not being as active as I might be able to be in the community. And I'm a very active individual, but I know I could be more active. You know, I know I should have the ability to bring more people to the table. Another thing at the meeting, like I said, old church people used to say, you look at the chair next to you, if it's empty, you failed to do your job. You know, you didn't encourage anybody else to come to the table. So maybe I'm not doing enough to encourage more people to share in the fight of bettering our community, create that village concept that we all yearn for. Y'all seen it on Black Panther. Y'all love Wanda. Yeah, everybody loved that. You know, everybody's together in the movie theater. But once you leave outside those four walls, just like you leave outside the four walls of church, that real work begins. Where do you stand? Because it is a black thing. But just because everybody's black don't mean that everybody's on the same side. You doing dirt, you doing wrong, and then to say, oh man, you not black, you not, nah. It's you against us. And if you ain't trying to get down like we try and get down and create this village concept, we ain't on the same team.
Well, my solution would be for everybody to start talking. That's the number one solution. Start to me. Start talking. You know, everybody has this mentality of we ain't gonna snitch to the police. Well, I don't have a problem with that. If you snitch before it gets to the police. So when you see these young kids, 11, 12 years old, doing no good, tell their parents. Tell their caregiver, tell their aunt, tell their granny, tell somebody who's going to straighten them out. You know, instead of just looking at them and turning your head. And looking at them and turning your head, and then 15 years later, 5 or 10 years later, they the ones that shot up the Cove Resort. They the ones that shot up the club, or they the ones that shot up the gas station, or the mall, or the park, or the zoo, or wherever the heck you at that day. If we start working as a true community, and everybody knows everybody. Everybody in Lexington can, for real, some kind of way or another. So why not reach out to the parents? I'm not saying run and tell the police everything, you know. That's not what I'm saying. Because I know people ain't going to do it no way. But the way we start to regulate our own is to talk about the problem. If I don't know that my son is a problem, I can't correct his behavior. So, Brandon, if you sitting there watching my son show off every single day and you don't say nothing, you part of the problem. You know, so when you see the people that you went to high school with and you see their kids wilding, oh, look at Darrell's son over there. Look at Brandon's son over here. Look at Corey's son. No, don't look at them. Go get them. If you don't go get them, then come get me. Because, you know, I grew up on Chestnut. Wasn't a parent on Chestnut that couldn't whoop our butt. Now, I understand now nobody wants their kids to be whooped and be held accountable. But at the same time, well, you come check your own kids then. We wouldn't need to be talking about having police presence at nightclubs if people was checking our young people when they was 10 and 11 instead of trying to wait to do it when they 17. With a gun bigger than the police. So my belief is that we can start policing our own, but we need to start with our own houses. We need to start with those children that we know. If I see your son doing something, you don't think I'm gonna tell you? Yeah, you my brother and I love you, but I also love him. So in the same sense, I can't say that I love the community or I love black people and see these young black kids out here getting themselves into trouble or doing things that have the potential of risking they, causing them their life. Know their parents and not say nothing. You know, there are children that are dead and gone today because some of us seen things and didn't say nothing. So I'm not saying run and snitch to the police. What I'm saying is start talking before they commit crimes that have to be reported to the police or that can be taken care of or handled by police.
All right, start using and utilizing the resources that we have instead of complaining that we don't have enough resources. We have a Resolve hotline. We have a Squash the Beef hotline. If you don't feel confident enough to go speak to somebody's parents, you don't feel confident enough to speak to your own damn kids. Utilize the hotline that's in place for you to use that have trained conflict mediators, men that have been a part of this community for dozens of years, natives to Lexington that actually love your family, love your kids, and actually care enough to want to be a part of something that strong and that special to be the guardians that some people don't know how to be. At number is 859-429-2114. There's no police involvement in that hotline. Everything is confidential. You can call that hotline. You have an issue, you let us know. And this is a preventative hotline. This is a hotline that we want to intervene before a crime is committed. Once a crime is committed and you calling us talking about my baby, you don't want your baby doing 20 years of life, nothing we can do. The issue is already, it's too late. So utilize the resources that are already in place for us to better our community and don't complain that we don't have enough. If you feel like there's something that needs to be done, create it. Network with somebody that has already created a program. Work together. Mentor. You know, we have an issue with our women. We have an issue with our young men. We need women to mentor other women. We need men, strong men that have been there, that have done that, to mentor our young boys. Talk to them about going to prison. I just showed my sons some videos of people getting raped in prison. Yeah, it was touching. They, you know, I showed them the dude on there talking about booty and how he loves booty. I showed them pictures of people, what they really look like when they on that yard throwing that 400 pounds. And they squad up. Do you really want that life? You a gangster out here, but do you really want that? in a two-man cell? You know, that's talking about gladiator years. That's where gladiators are really, a lot of gladiators are created. So, you know, utilize the resources that are in play. Utilize this Squash the Beef Resolve Hotline, 859-429-2114.
And another thing, based on what you said, I think one of the changes in the culture is that parents are getting younger. And younger parents may not have the mannerisms. They don't have the discipline. They don't have the self-control. They don't have the foresight as some of the older parents before them. So, you know, we was taught, you know, somebody hit you, hit them back. Well, now they just teaching them to go hog wild. Well, before you teach your children lessons, think about how it's going to play out in their life in 5 years, 10 years, 15, and 20. And then think about what message you're giving your children. A lot of times we teach our children to fight back, but we don't tell them when to fight back. We don't teach them how to fight back. So, you know, these young boys think, okay, if somebody does something to me, fight back with this gun in my hand. Well, no, son, that's not what I was teaching you. What I'm telling you is to fight back if your life is in jeopardy. What I'm teaching you is to fight back. Not if somebody disrespects you verbally, overlook that. Be strong enough to overlook that. And show them the difference between strength as in physical strength and mental strength. One of the biggest issues I see when I'm dealing with these young folks is that they just can't let it go. I can't let you chump me. I can't let you chump me. You gonna kill somebody over that? And so many of these young people have that mentality that we as parents need to, one, realize that we're doing it to them. You'd be surprised how many children say, oh, they gonna go hard because of that daddy. I wanna be accepted by my daddy. I don't wanna, you know, fail my dad. I don't want him to think I'm soft or weak. So teach your children true strength. And say, yeah, if somebody puts their hands on you, bust them up. But only if they put their hands on you. Only if this, that. Don't go out looking for trouble. Don't go out causing problems. I mean, for some reason, it seems like these young people don't get these life lessons anymore. And their behavior is out of control as a result.
Hey, each one teach one. You know, some of these lessons that you was talking about, I know we can't get into it now, but some of the things when you start looking at maternal instincts, are we really straying that far off to where now loving and cherishing a child is no longer natural? No longer... internal. You know, you throw a dog in water that they have, and they've never swam before, they gonna swim. You know, so loving, honoring, and cherishing a baby and protecting that child should come natural. And it seems like we kind of straying away from being humane, to where we, so many of us are becoming beast-like. You know, and I'm not just talking about the black community. I'm talking about as a culture of America. There's no compassion. There's no natural compassion. There's no love. There's no loyalty. There's no honor. So without those, so when you start talking about there's no love, there's no belief, a love of a higher power, which means that there's no thought of a future for you. So there's a empty spot in your heart where you feel as though you're nothing. So it's easy to go out there and be beast-like because you're not looking to a greater tomorrow. So, you know, everybody utilize those resources that are out there and be the best you that you can be every day and strive to be better. That's Blackout Radio, man. We out of here.
Peace.